scripture reading is 1 Samuel 3. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At the time, Eli, whose sight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel." And he said, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli. And he said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call you." He lie down again. So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel, Samuel, get up." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son, lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again a third time, and he got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make both ears of anyone who hears of it tingle. On that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God, and he did not restrain them. Therefore I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be expiated, but sacrifice of offering it forever." Samuel lay there until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said to Samuel, "My son." He said, "Here I am." Eli said, "What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me for all that he told you." So Samuel told him of everything and hid nothing from him. Then he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." As Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was a trustworthy prophet of the Lord.
Those of you who are raised in a church are probably familiar with this passage. The context behind it is that Israel was not yet a nation. It was still a tribe. They'd had the great leaders of Moses and Joshua, but they had died. The judges stepped in for a while to lead, but God wanted Israel to be led by a prophet. Beth Tanner, a Hebrew Bible scholar, asked the question, "Can everyone be called, or is it just certain people?" I think the answer to that is everyone definitely is called. And we are gifted differently, and we support each other in that. Within this text that's so familiar to some of us is a phrase that says, "Now the word of the Lord was rare in those days," or "the word of God was precious in those days." That phrase is found nowhere else in the Hebrew Bible. The words "precious" are generally used to talk about jewelry and gems, but it's used nowhere else. It feels to me like the Word of God, at least in the progressive church, is very rare these days. You can go any place and hear hatred in a church. You can go almost any place and hear prejudice. You can go any place and hear that God wants you to be rich, the name it, claim it theology. But the progressive Word of God is not around much, very often. And visions? Who is casting a vision these days? It's certainly not the Congress. Their vision is anything President Obama's for, we're going to be against. But we need visions. And to that end, I think God calls prophets. Now, I would suggest that this is not a gay church. It's a church where gay people and transgender people are welcome. I would suggest that this is a prophetic church. And wherever there are prophets, they're pointing to what God wants us to do. This young boy who is given to the temple by his mother, just a young boy, God had already called. And I'm curious about what God is calling you to do. Now, let's be clear. God always calls the wrong people to do the right job. Always. Moses, he killed a man. So did Paul, by the way. A young girl to birth God into the world. An old man and an old woman to begin a new nation. Are you kidding me? So that should help us lean into the discomfort of where God is calling you. I often laugh after 25 years to think I'm clergy. My tongue is too sharp. I'm far too willing to get into a fight for anything. I'm always wanting to stand up for the person who has no power. But, you know, I cuss too much. I yell too much. I think I told you before I came here, there was a day I was driving on a street in Manhattan, Kansas, and there was a car right behind me. It was honking, it was honking, it was honking. Finally, I flipped them off. It was the matriarch of the church I was serving. I had a little explaining to do. But I say that to give you courage, because God is calling this church, and we have been listening for that voice. And people will gather together after the potluck on February 1st and begin to put that vision together. Be scared. It's okay to be scared, because God will always call you to something bigger than what you can do. And then in some weird way, God will make it happen. God will make it happen. Samuel, in this pericope, says, "Here I am," 4 different times. The Hebrew word is hanani. It means literally, "Here I am, behold me." 3 of the times he got it wrong because he went to Eli. But the fourth time, he opened his spirit and said, "Speak to me, Lord. Your servant is listening." Are we listening? Thomas Merton wrote that God speaks to us when we listen. And when thinking God's finished, we cease to listen. God ceases to speak. So part of our job has to be listening for God's voice. And then the other part is, a commentator said, it's so easy to get it wrong. It's so easy to get it wrong. But here's my way of discerning that. If God is calling you to do something that's going to hurt people, it's probably not God. But if God is calling you to do something to stand with people, it's probably the Almighty. And no matter how hard you run, or no matter how far you run, you don't get out of it. Because it's not about you, It's about the work of God. Dr. King, that we admire on this weekend, and hopefully we don't forget about him come Tuesday, was a prophet. He pointed to where America needed to work. It was about disenfranchisement of people of color, but he also spoke against the Vietnam War. He also spoke on behalf of people who had almost nothing. And that's where I feel like God is moving me in my own life, to be more generous, to think about people who have nothing. There are about 3.5 million homeless people in the United States. 35% of those people are families with children. Now, I don't know what we're going to do with the downstairs of this church, but I know we got a lot of rooms. I know we got a lot of beds. And I feel like the heartbeat of God is pounding in this church. I think there's excitement for the future. So, lean in. Buckle your seatbelts. Ask God, what do you want me to do? And then when you find out, the only appropriate response that you're going to be able to get away with is, here I am, your servant's listening. Think about it. Amen.